And now, a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
R.I.P. Robert Redford.
Speaking of entertainment.
One of the most famous movie stars of all time.
Yeah.
And one of the most loved. He's passed away at the age of 89 and he died in his sleep, which is the ultimate way to go, isn't it?
Yeah.
Some might say. At his home in Utah, and apparently he was surrounded by those that he loved.
Nice.
So, and he was in a place that he loved too. So
Utah.
Beautiful. Well, also his house, I imagine.
You don't hear that often though, do you?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of stuff that happens there.
Yeah.
Anyway, and so I hadn't thought about him in quite a while.
No, of course not.
You know? But he was an actor, he was a director, he helped found the Sundance Festival.
Oh, right.
That's news to me.
Yeah.
And that's a powerhouse for independent film.
Yeah.
Right, so he did that.
Was he the Sundance kid?
Well, wait on.
Okay.
Just hold your horses.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry.
He was a committed campaigner for environmental causes, and you know how that does me.
All right. Let's stop down and tell us more about that.
It's just good to, you know, get an overall view of him.
Sure, sure, sure.
Because some people might not know.
No, I did not know.
Some people might not know about his films.
No, I am unsure if I know about his films or not.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I thought perfect opportunity to maybe play a little game with you.
Okay.
Guess the Robert Redford film. I'm going to give you some film titles.
Okay.
You have to tell me.
Whether they're a Robert Redford film or not.
Yeah, or whether they're made up.
Okay, here we go.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
That's real.
That is real. It's from 1969.
Wow.
What a great year.
Nice.
The Hot Rock.
The Hot Rock? Is that off the back of what we just... I reckon that's fake.
That's a real film, buddy.
Oh, wow.
1972.
What are the chances? We were just talking about Hot Rock
Hot cooking. Rock, I know.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming in at number three, is this a Robert Redford movie or something I've just made up?
Okay.
Legal Eagles.
Legal Eagles you've made up.
That's a real film, mate.
What?
1986.
Wow.
Not very good at this game.
No. Well, what are the chances you're going to lead with three actual movies?
I like to play mind games with you.
Yeah, I know.
So that leaves us. Now he's thinking, well, she's done three. Is this one, surely it's got to be a fake, but maybe she's tricking me. Maybe it is a real one. 3 Days of the Condor.
Oh, that's real.
That is a real movie.
Yeah,
1975.
I know that one.
How do you know that?
Because I worked at Blockbuster.
Oh, of course. That sounds like a fake movie,
Dave. Yeah, it does.
3 Days of the Condor.
Yeah.
We'll watch it in our own time.
I think it's a war thing.
It's a walking movie.
War.
Oh, war movie.
Yeah.
Walking is worse.
Yeah.
Number five, The Old Man and the Gun.
That sounds fake.
That's a real movie, mate. 2018.
These are all real movies.
2018.
Oh, you suck.
We are celebrating the life of Robert Redford. He's amazing.
Okay.
Okay, and the last one, The Cat Whisperer.
The Cat Whisperer. That's fake.
Well, look. The movie was The Horse Whisperer, but I have heard people call him that in their private time.
Back in the day. The Cat Whisperer extraordinaire.
Just celebrating the life there of
Robert Redford.
Beautiful man. Gone too soon.
Two out of five.
I don't know. It was just a bit fun.
Yeah, I know. Can I have the winner sound effect?
Yes.
Yay.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
When are they going to make cars that adults can fit in?
The headline. So coming from a real tall man, are you talking about?
So, well, no, and see, this is the problem. I'm not a large people. The Lewises, we are not large people.
Hmm.
But for some reason, I could still not fit in my friend's car on the weekend because they were driving us around, obviously.
With a what?
So front seat's fine. But then they've got a 10-month-old. So he's got his seat, which is tailored to his size, right? That's fine.
Yeah, but they take up the whole back.
No, they.
God forbid kids try and get in cars like we used to.
Yeah, I know, right?
We survived.
Hold this cigarette while daddy drives.
Yeah.
So he's in the back. So this is like a little, it's a hatchback, to be fair.
And so, is he falling on hard times?
No, it was his wife's car.
Okay.
She's driving.
An SUV hatchback?
She's taking us to the pub. No, just like a little, just a, it's
car.
Like a I-30.
Oh.
Yeah. Awful, right?
They're doing well.
Yeah. Hey, they're beautiful.
No, I'm joking.
She's driving. I'm joking. He's in the front seat. He's, yeah. I don't know, 6 foot or something. So he's in the front seat.
And he's done the whole pullback.
My mate Maddie and I are in the back with the baby.
She must have loved having you boys over and getting you for an extra night as well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you could see the joy on her face when I came back from the airport. She's like, "Nah, good to see you." Bless you, Caitlin. You're so patient.
What a legend.
Anyway, so whether I was sitting on the door and Maddie was in the middle, or in another setup I was sitting in the middle and Maddie was at the door, our butts, you know me, I don't have that big of a butt.
No.
But our butts could not fit, the two butts in the back seat.
Two butts could not
plus
fit.
Plus a capsule. So small baby.
Yeah.
Big chair, but still a capsule. Like, it just takes up one sort of slot out of the three from the back.
Mm.
When are they going to start making back seats that actual adults can sit in?
I think when you buy an adult car.
Yeah.
Like, i30s are for teenagers, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. It's like we all put a bit of weight on in our 40s.
Yeah.
And we buy cars that are appropriate for that.
That's, big back seat. Yeah. That's where you do your best work. In the back seat.
That's a conversation for another day. No one likes that.
Okay. Stop buying small cars and then trying to drive me around it.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
You know me.
Yep.
Mental health lover.
Yes.
Mental health...
Battler.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is interesting to me. That there's a new, the Lived Experience Residential Service. It's a $7 million 8-bed crisis facility that is coming to Geelong.
Great, yeah.
To try and be an alternate to hospital care,
great.
They're saying, right? Mm-hmm. Because obviously the Royal Commission into Mental Health Services found that a lot of people falling through the cracks.
Yep.
And if you have ever been in a situation where a loved one or yourself requires that mental intervention to be actually hospitalised or go into a facility, you think, because you watch the movies, right? And you think, I can just go into a place, or if I'm really struggling, the hospital, I'll just go to the hospital.
They'll
just
have me, yeah.
They'll just have me.
No.
It's not the case.
No room at the inn.
No, exactly, right? Yeah. And so normally it's for people who are like really, really intensely battling mental health problems,
yeah.
Which you may be, but you might not be battling what they consider enough, right? And so, this is great, but it is, I think people need to know that you need to be aware that if you do need mental health services, you've really got to advocate for yourself a lot of the time as well.
Yeah.
And help is just not there. And the people that work in these places, bless them. They're trying their hardest. It's not their fault.
Oh, of course.
They're trying their hardest. But what can you do if you've only got 6 beds somewhere? And it's like, well, what do we do?
You can only work with what you've got.
And if you want to pay, there are private facilities that you can pay. And it's like up to between $1,000 to $2,000 a day up in Melbourne if you want to be a private patient.
Yeah.
Right? Intense. And, you know, that's all one side of this discussion. But the other side of the discussion is, and the reason I wanted to chat about this yesterday, is that I take fluoxetine.
Mm-hmm.
And so does my sister's dog. So it's a medication that does a lot of things.
Oh, mate, universal.
And I take 2 of them a day. As we say, you know, gotta take my brain pills.
Everybody.
Gotta take my brain pills.
Do you put them in a meaty chew or is that just for the dog?
Sometimes.
Yeah,
sometimes I wrap them in salami.
Yeah.
but I have to, because I take 2 of these tablets a day, right, with normal scripts at the pharmacy, they can only give you just, say, 1 box at a time.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so if you request an extra box, because I take, so there's 28 tablets in a box.
Right.
Okay. I take 2 a day.
So it's 2 weeks of supply.
2 weeks of supply. So imagine having to go to the chemist every 2 weeks.
Every fortnight,
And for someone with mental health issues to try and remember to go, to drive there, to call up so you don't have to wait, to everything. It's hard. It's hard and annoying, right?
I bet.
So then you go to the doctors and you say, hey, can you ask to get authorization to put a bit of extra on there? You know what I mean? So I can have 2 boxes to take home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, cool. No worries. And then from what I found the other day, because I said to the beautiful girl at the chemist, my local chemist, I said, oh, yeah. She goes, this is your last repeat, because you only get 5 repeats, you see.
Right.
For something that is chronic with me, I've been taking this medication since like 2017, and I take 2 a day every day, pretty much going to have to do it for the rest of my life.
Yeah, but you can't have a rolling script.
Can't have a rolling script because God forbid, right? Now, I understand that there's things in place because they're worried. I mean, I don't know. Are you worried I'm going to OD on this stuff? Like, well, I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
But it seems like it would be pretty difficult.
Well, people take the pee and, like, maybe they're selling them all. You know, like, you get people rip off the system. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right? And so, but then this beautiful chick said to me, hey, you can actually get now more prescriptions for, like, chronic things, right?
Cool.
So you can get, like, a larger course.
That's great.
And she's like, but the repeats... you can only get so many repeats. So you can't get up to 5 repeats. You can only get maybe 2 repeats. So really.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm getting more medication, but then I have to go back to the doctor more often. And I just said to her, I'm like, why do they make it so hard for people that have mental health problems?
Yeah,
why is the system so hard so that I have to be there all the time for myself, making appointments, spending money, getting referrals, going to the chemist, picking up medication? Can we make it easier?
So much bureaucracy, mate. How are they going to justify their jobs?
The red tape. So I know that, like, crisis centres and everything are really good.
Yes.
This is amazing. But is there any way we can look at the little things, the everyday things that are doing my head in?
Sincerely, Lauren Tomaskis.
Medicated woman.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
It's Loggy here. I am so excited. When I was offered the chance to have a dog in the studio, of course, I jumped at it, and everyone else has been jumping into the studio to give this beautiful black lab a pat. His name is Digger, but he does have an owner. Her name, Alicia McKenzie, and is joining me right now. Alicia, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you have a foundation called Don't Forget My Pet. What is it all about?
So Don't Forget My Pet, it's a charity that helps people keep their pets in times of crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So predominantly financial crisis or people experiencing isolation, loneliness, mental health challenges, illness or disability. You know, a lot of people will delay medical treatment or check out against medical advice because they have an animal and they don't have a support network to be able to support them. So what we want to do is take that stress away and be able to provide them with the assistance to care for their animals so that they can get the help that they need.
Why did you start this?
Well, I started it because I was working in the corporate world and we moved down here. My partner and I split up and I moved down here in between the first 2 lockdowns in 2020. And I guess I experienced isolation because I didn't know anybody in Geelong. So my mental health was challenged and Digger was just the most amazing support network.
He's beautiful, this black lab, Digger, but he's sitting under my feet right now.
Yeah, he's pretty special and he kind of forced his way into all my meetings and everything like that. But I guess the more I looked into it, the more I realised that over a quarter of Australia's population lives alone and that's only going to grow with an ageing population and with more people choosing to live alone. And if they don't have a support network, what do they do? I mean, when we were able to get out and about and stuff, Digger was, you know, hello, well, here I am. And forced me to make new friends. And now I've got an amazing community here in Geelong. But, you know, a lot of people don't have that. Mm. And to have an animal means everything to them.
Oh, yeah. They're family. Some people don't realise that. But for me, animals are part of the family and we treat them as such. I would hate to think that if I was alone with my dog, Wombi, who's a red heeler, if experiencing financial crisis, if I had to give him up.
Yep.
We work closely with Gauze and with Gar. That would just be so heartbreaking. Do you find that that happens in this community, that it's people just can't afford to take care of their pets anymore, so that's why they have to give them up?
Absolutely.
Mm.
And I guess that's one of the other programs that we do. We provide pet food to the community.
Okay.
So since March last year, we've provided over 28,000 pet meals to the community so that they can focus and, I guess, spend their money on the things that they need to spend their money on so they don't have to surrender their animals.
Yeah.
We want to prevent surrenders because Gauze, Gar, the Yellow Door, all of these rescues are so overwhelmed at the moment.
Oh, they are. And they do amazing work.
They do.
Yeah.
But so many of these surrenders could be prevented.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people don't want to surrender them. That's where we kind of try and step in and offer that service to be able to keep people with their pets.
That's so beautiful. Not only that, there's another thing that I experienced recently. Wombi had to have an operation, which means that he basically is not able to do much for 12 weeks. And I'm lucky because my partner goes to work about 8 a.m. and then I'm home in the afternoons, very early afternoons. So he doesn't have to be left by himself a lot. But for people that have dogs, cats, whatever animals that have that need veterinary help, but they have to work full time to be able to afford the veterinary help and the medication for these dogs. I believe you also help with some veterinary assistance as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have helped with veterinary assistance. I think it was for 26 animals.
Yeah.
Yeah, that varied in what we could do because we haven't been provided any government funding or any grant funding. So this is all dependent on community support and community fundraising. But yes, we have provided some veterinary care, but we also have provided in-home support services.
Okay.
So for people that are isolated or but their animal needs to be checked in on, we do have a volunteer network that has the ability to be able to go into some of these homes and check in on these animals when,
I'm so glad you're here because I'd never heard of this foundation before. Don'tforgetmypet.org.au is where you can go to find out more. You're actually having a bit of a shindig.
We are.
And Digger is on the invite looking like he's having a fabulous time. He's very excited. Bless him. Tell us all about the Don't Forget My Pet Gala.
So the Don't Forget My Pet Gala is something that we want to do on an annual basis. This is our very first. It's a party, essentially. It's to celebrate, you know, what we've achieved because a small little charity like us, we have achieved a lot in the last 18 months. But it's also to kind of talk about where we're going and to help fundraise so we can provide more of these services to the community. It's also... it's a party.
Yeah.
So, there'll be stories and auctions and music.
And a chance to meet people.
And a chance to meet people who are like-minded and, you know, really care about that connection between humans and their pets.
It's happening at the Pavilion on the 3rd of October.
We'd like to offer your listeners 2 free tickets.
Yeah.
To come along and to join us for our party. And, you know, get dolled up as much as you'd like.
Love it.
And come and have some fun.
Okay. Now, I don't know if Digger will be there or not because it is quite a late night.
Unfortunately, it's past Digger's bedtime.
Yeah, that's okay. But you can get your Digger fixed because there'll be plenty of photos of him. 52232955 if you want that double pass. Thank you so much for coming in, Alicia. I really appreciate it and the amazing work that you're doing here in our community.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
So I did go to Sydney for a boys' weekend. Also, to meet my...
long weekend.
Yes, it was a long weekend. It was a longer than expected weekend to meet my little 10-month-old nephew, not nephew, you know, not biological, but he's my little nephew.
Oh, that's why you went.
That's part of why we went, because he's been around for almost his birthday. Oh. So it wasn't
for a boys' weekend.
Yeah, it's nice to just tack that on the end. It makes it sound a lot nicer, doesn't it?
Well, it was like 5 of us hanging out. One was 10 months old and... 3 of us were mates from Darwin, and then there's my mate's wife as well. So we were all like, that was the crew, all kicking around.
Bless. She would have had a ball.
Did she end up, and the 10-month-old end up at King's Cross on the Saturday night?
No, we stayed away from Sydney CBD.
Why?
Well, because it's a long way from where they live. You can live in Sydney and still be 2.5 hours from Sydney.
It's so hard to get to the airport, you know, that 6 a.m. flight. It's so, keep sowing that seed, mate. Keep sowing that seed.
So we stayed at home for the Friday. I flew in lunchtime Friday. Stayed home. On the Saturday, went to a craft brewery.
Surprise.
Was
just to see the 10-month-old.
Yeah, the 10-month-old baby loves the fermentation.
That was the three of us boys. And so my beer journey for the weekend was just an absolute roller coaster. That was elite. That was brilliant. Mountain Culture is the name of the brewery, and it was incredible. If you know, you know. Then on Saturday night, we went out. Went for dinner.
I got a message at 7:30.
Oh.
And here's my first takeaway from being in Sydney. Do you want to say it or shall I say
it? No, you say it because I've forgotten.
Every guy in Sydney, certainly out at the pub or whatever, looks like he runs an LMCT raffle, classic vintage car sort of arrangement. That's how they all dress. They all look like they should be going, you could win this car if you...
Don't need the accent. Don't need the accent. Also, what are you rocking today? Flannelette shirt tucked in.
Yeah, that's a... Well,
that seems like you sell tickets for cars, mate.
No.
No, trust me. Seriously, the going out to... like, because we were at a pub that had a sports bar and everything, but there's a rooftop nightclub upstairs, which obviously us boys went to
again,
later.
With the 10-month-old. Yeah.
We had shots and we had cocktails and we... Anyway... But they all wear, like, I don't know if this is a Geelong thing as well, maybe I've missed it, but like shorts, sneakers, T-shirt and a cap. And that's like, I'm going out to the club. It's like, what? Where's the rest of it?
Yeah, what are you wearing to the club?
Black jeans and a collar or something, you know, like something nice.
Collar. It's cold these days.
Hey, actually, you do mention the nightclub upstairs.
Yeah.
You put a story up. A
couple of stories,
yeah. Couple, and then I went back the next morning, but they were deleted.
Oh.
Yeah, and because Davo, who started here, is going to be with Tim and Jess all this week, she said, I went to look back at the stories and they were gone. And I'm like,
What mistake did you make?
No, we got pretty loose on the dance floor.
It's always good.
No, it was we got kicked out at the end. They were closing. They were like
9:30.
Come on, guys, last drinks.
Last drinks at 10 o'clock. Bloody hell.
Although one person did point out, they're like, did you see in the background of one of your shots? Because it was us three boys dancing like it was 2012.
Why
again.
Did you delete it?
Because it was like messy dance floor gear. But apparently in the background, there's like two girls that are trying to like get involved and like trying to get...
Chill out.
Well, that's what my mate's wife said. So
they're pointing to you, indicating to the security. Can you get rid of
these guys? Bye-bye.
Dancing offensively. Anyway, so that was Saturday night. That was wild. And the fashion in Sydney is just out of control. Sunday went to a pub that bragged about having advertised... huge range of craft beers.
Yeah.
The trying to actually get one of them. Oh, sorry, we don't have that on tap. Sorry, we don't. I can't find those cans in the fridge.
No, another outing with the 10-month-old.
Yeah.
Just that was, yeah.
Went love to see them. Lunch. Yeah. Just love finding out all about them.
Yeah. But from like 11 or 10 beers that they had, you know, on the craft beer menu, like five of them you couldn't get. So
did you write a complaint?
I did write a review.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen whether they replied or not, but stupidly I became a member first. Oh. And then I wrote a review. I was like, they're going to be able to find me.
Obviously.
Yeah, and then on Monday we went to Circular Quay, did the touristy thing, and then my mate and I went to the airport because Maddie and I had our flights. He was going to Brisbane and I was going to Sydney. Mm. Do you know how many $18.50 beers we had with our dinner while we waited for our flight? And then I had to turn around and go back.
Because you couldn't get on the flight.
Yeah. It was a 10:30 flight.
My flight got cancelled. And I was like, man, I spent so much on, because it's the pints are so expensive at the airport.
Did you not get on the plane because you're a pisshead?
No. You didn't get let on the plane.
You can check. The flight got cancelled.
It's all
you
come
check,
out now.
You can check.
You can check the logbooks.
Yeah.
I got a $10, we're sorry your flight got cancelled. Oi!
Gotta love that.
Which was not enough to buy a beer the next day at the airport, that's for sure. But anyway, my main takeaway was having to go to the airport thinking you're getting on a plane, so you have a couple of beers and it's cost you, you know, $40. Is such a waste because then you have to do it all again tomorrow when your flight gets cancelled.
What a shame.
Anyway, love you, Sydney. That was great. Let's not do it again.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Have you not learned, Cameron Ling?
Well, I've learned lots of things from both of you and from life. What in particular are you referring
to? I can't go too hard on you, Tom, at the moment, but I feel like you two and your professionalism is really wavering at the moment.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you wanted Tom in on
No, yeah. I do,
so
and that's
far,
why.
No, so far, no good.
No. And I know that Lingy and I are full because we've been dining out on you not getting back from Sydney in time to be on the show tomorrow. But
yesterday,
Tom. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, yesterday, Tom. I'm not sure if you saw this because your emails are just insane. Mm. But there was this media release that got dropped into my lap yesterday.
I delete them straight away.
Yeah. No, but it's a big one. Okay. Because did you know that today, three-time AFL Premiership player with the Geelong Cats,
okay.
is taking the Premiership Cup, the AFL Premiership Cup, to a school.
Steve Johnson.
Stevie
J. No. See, I know how you would think that because the guy who we work with here yeah. has been told time and time again, hey, if you're doing something big
yeah.
and other industry people are going to know about it, yeah. it's always good for the media that you work with
yeah.
to know about it first.
Yeah. Like that time he stopped Mark Philippoussis from punching on.
Yeah, there was that. The fact that he was presenting the Premiership Cup to the Cats
yeah.
on grand final day
yeah.
a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and it's like, and then
Cameron Ling Academy's getting
Cameron Ling that's another
named
one?
After him at the
Hang
club.
On, you worded that as though I am taking the Premiership Cup to a school.
That's why it's written.
The Premiership Cup, the Premiership Cup will be at a school because it's doing a tour of all of Australia. It's going around to all regional communities of Australia. It's on its journey. It's heading to the MCG in a week yeah. and a bit's time.
It's heading to schools for kids, like I'm assuming, like underprivileged.
Well,
like
doing
maybe.
It tough. Yeah,
doing it's tough
sort
for
of
kids.
Lower socioeconomic.
Yeah, to give them something to strive for. What school are you going to be at today?
It just happens to be at the school where I was previously a student. Fines Park Primary School.
Won't someone think of Fines Park Primary School?
What? Those kids will be so excited to see the Premiership
Absolutely.
Cup. It is brilliant.
Of course.
And we love having the cup in the Geelong region. We hope it's back here in a week and a bit's time.
Will it be presented after they serve supper or...?
Yeah.
Is that, what is it? Is it?
And do the kids have to come off their horses to come and see the cup or do they yeah. get to ride them up?
They don't live on a farm or they don't go to school
yeah,
on a
but
farm.
They're rich. So why don't we know about this? Because the head honchos here at work messaged me and Tom yesterday and said, hey guys, any word on this? And do we know if we can get the cup actually
Is he bringing it in with him?
Into the shield? What's
happening?
Did you
guys know about
this? I don't
this?
Have, the cup is not in my back pocket. It is not sitting in my car right now. It's part of a tour and I am meeting the cup there.
So when did you find out that this was happening?
Monday.
Right.
Okay. What's today?
Well, there were still more details to work out. I didn't know full details.
All the details.
Are you saying I should have brought it to you yesterday?
Or Monday.
Oh, no, I didn't know enough Monday. That was still very...
Yeah, you know what it's like. You know what it's like. You know what it's like.
Yeah, when you get asked, you know, to do all these appearances and pulled left, right and centre.
And you work for a media company.
Yeah. When details...
You first with this information.
You don't want to talk to...
You just don't...
You know you can't release things when details haven't been confirmed.
Oh, it is hard.
Oh, because talking to us is releasing anything. You should see our group chat, guys. It is atrocious.
Tom, Lingy and Lockie. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.